Right, I am joined in the studio this evening by a very, very special guest. Now, 2013 was a fine year for releases, but one of my favourites was For Shadow Crisis EP, The Jowls of Justice. And even though it's not technically an album, it made it onto my list of albums of 2013. So, when I heard that there was going to be a new... actually their first album, I say new, but it's new stuff anyway, from For Shadow Crisis. I was really, really looking forward to it. And I've heard the album now, I heard it on the car journey down here. So before we chat to Sim, and I've got the songs here, I can see them in front of me, they're real, and I can see them. So we're going to give you a treat tonight of some of the tracks from the new album. Before we chat to Sim, we're going to start you with the opener, which is called Amnesiac Electorate. Is that right? That's right. Here it is.
Amnesiac electorate, you have relaxed and left us with a system that worships television. Politicians, now that Hollywood has humanized our 80s demons. As we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, forgive us our trespasses and deliver us from Jeremy Hunt. Into whose homeopathic hands we have delivered the sacrificial fatty calf of the
is that when I say something's good, I don't normally lie, not all the time. For Shadow Crisis, Amnesiac Electorate, which is taken from their forthcoming album, Almost Everyone Is Entirely Average at Almost Everything.
Well done.
And to boot, we are joined by Mr. Sim here in the studio. Good evening.
Hello.
How the devil are you?
I'm really quite well, thank you very much.
As I was saying, I got kind of a first listen to the album in a car on the way here, which I think is how all listening parties should be done.
Well, in my car?
In your car.
Every album.
Yeah, I mean, immediately if you have to play it for, like, you know, 20 people, it might get a bit boring. Around.
We're going to need some sort of complicated rotor system, I think.
Yeah, or get yourself a coach.
Oh yeah, could do. Yeah,
could do.
All right. But that's a deal.
Yeah, I think so. Right, the new album, Almost Everyone Is Entirely Average at Almost Everything. The new album, your first full-length album for the band, is that right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. How do you define full-length?
I don't know. I mean, you made it, so, you know.
I call Mischief an album, and Him Make Their Lone Read, I call them an album. Because we made them, we're allowed to call them albums. They're seven tracks long, which is probably a little bit short.
It's kind of an EP.
That's what some people say. But if I say it's an album, isn't it? I think.
You do have that right, yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
so technically it's our third album, I think.
Okay, that's cool.
It's our first album that's longer than seven tracks.
Yeah, you might want to make notes. You know. So I think we'll start with the title. Where does the Almost Everyone Is Entirely Average at Almost Everything? I can say it really quickly now.
That's impressive. I was expecting you to trip up over that, and I'll be honest with you.
Where's the title come from?
Where's it come from?
Yeah.
Well, say it again to yourself.
No.
It's just true, isn't it? It's just truth.
Truth.
And we're a very honest band, generally.
Mm-hmm.
We pride honesty and integrity above most things. And it's a sort of just an obvious truth, something that we think's obvious as well, which is something that we do. Things that we think obvious that maybe not everyone
does. So it's kind of like a social commentary as such.
And it made me laugh. And it's really long. And it's difficult for people on the radio to say, and that's another reason.
There is that. I think I've done quite well.
You have, you've nailed that.
To be honest with you. Now, for this release, you kind of got involved with the whole Kickstarter thing. Now, for those of you who may not know, basically there's certain kind of sites out there, Kickstarter and Pledge Music are kind of the big ones, where you can get funding for various projects even. A lot of musicians use it. I think film directors have used it as well. It's, you know, I pledged to quite a few things, and I like it, you know. There's a personal kind of touch to using it. What was your idea about using Kickstarter?
Well, all the advice about using any sort of crowdfunding site is that you shouldn't do it unless you've got an extremely established fan base.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have, then it's a fantastic tool and something that will work really, really well for you. But if you haven't got a crowd to fund it, then don't use it. And so we thought, well, let's see if that's true. And they worked out quite well for us, to be honest. We were always going to make the album anyway, but we've got a whole sort of loft full of old material that hadn't been released properly, that we could make available to people if they wanted it. So it was a way of people sort of registering interest in that sort of thing, if they did want that, and quite a few people did, which was nice. And people were very, very supportive generally.
Because you doubled your target that you originally set.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. I mean, we're not U2 or anything. We didn't set the target at.
I'm quite pleased at that fact, though. Are you really?
I'm mostly. I wouldn't mind being maybe Adam Clayton every now and again, just like a Thursday afternoon or something. I'm sure that's all right. But on the whole, yeah, we're quite happy with how it worked out. We set it very, very low. The target, obviously nowhere near what it would cost to actually record and release the album.
Because there's vinyl packages, t-shirts,
There's all sorts going, but we were going to do that anyway, so it wasn't in any, there was no point in us trying to cover the cost for it.
But
we're just not the sort of band that will ever be able to make a profit on a release like this. That's just, realistically, that's not going to happen. We didn't really set it as a target that would pay for everything, but we set it as a smaller target, something that we could achieve, and if people wanted to get behind it, they could, and then if they didn't, then obviously we wouldn't have to shell out for those other extra bits. People did want it.
Because one thing I've always wondered with the with these kind of things, because basically you set up different packages for people who pledge, you know, so let's have a look. Funny enough, I've got the page up here. So, for example, pledge £7 and you've got the download deal, we've got the album, you've got the a live session that's going to be recorded Music Box Cardiff.
Yep,
is that right?
That
soon. And also a compilation of 25 tracks from throughout your career?
Korea.
Yes.
Even if you'd have said that word correctly, it would have been hilarious. it's actually not 25 songs now. It's 37 or something absurd. They were sort of a series of EPs that we released. I was just trying to find it on here as well, the package, so I could see it as well. Well, I'm just going to have to try and remember what we put on there. There's a series of EPs that we did in the studio back many, many years ago when there were four of us in the band, that never were released properly. It was almost before internet, to be honest, those ones, so we never actually put them up on... It was certainly before anything like Bandcamp or anything like that, so they never went up there. And then there's a couple of live... There's a live session which was done live in a studio, and then there's a couple of live sets.
Southend at Riga and Leicester.
You've got it in front of you.
I've actually got the page up there.
You're watching me struggle and try and remember, and you're reading it off the screen.
It's only just
loaded. One in Leicester, many years ago. That's when there's four of us in the band. And then there's one in Riga, in Westcliff, yeah. And that's a later one.
36 tracks, in fact.
It's 36.
There is indeed.
And there's an odd one.
Demos and studio recordings as well. And you've also, there was a vinyl... package
there
as well.
There will be a vinyl package, yeah. It's the first time I've done anything on vinyl.
It's something that's rather interesting me as being a vinyl junkie.
Excellent. Well, feel free to buy anything up to 200 of them. That'll be very helpful.
I've got room. You know, I've got a
garage.
I can, you know, feel free to.
And you don't drive, so that's almost perfect.
Exactly, because I don't need a car.
Yeah, excellent.
That's it. So, the overall experience—is it something you'd use again? The whole Kickstarter thing?
Yeah, I think so. It was certainly painless. It was quite enjoyable. It's an easy thing to use. Generally, I don't want to do anything like an advert for a site when there's a whole load of them you can use. But as a tool, the crowdfunding thing is quite enjoyable, really. It's a little bit of an ego boost when people are actually interested in what you're doing, which is nice.
And I think it's nice for the, like... getting updates about the project, because you did a couple of updates about the recording, you know, pictures and all that kind of thing. I like that part of it, you know, the kind of interactive sort of part of it where, you know, you're part of the experience, you know, as well of recording the album.
That's the idea. I mean, I don't bombard people with updates. I think I wait until there's something worth updating. So, for example, I will be updating about how it's almost finished as soon as we get the artwork through, which is very soon. But yeah, you do. It's nice to feel part of something, isn't it? And to get things that not everyone can get as well. Because the compilation stuff, we're not going to make that available elsewhere. It's only for people who have pledged and wanted it. So it's a little exclusive. Although, obviously, you'd be able to spread it on the internet within seconds, I suppose. But
well, that's what happens these days, isn't it? Yeah, that's it. Right, I tell you what, let's have the next track from the new album and get you to introduce it for us.
Okay, this is the only song ever written about tuberculosis in the 1950s, and it's called Hurricane Colin.
great was that? For Shoulder Crisis, Hurricane Colin from the new album, which I'm going to say the title again now. Here we go. It is Almost Everyone is Entirely Average at Almost Everything.
That's very good. Say it without reading it off the screen.
No. Yeah, I can't seem to say anything else, but I can say the album title, which is good. That was Hurricane Colin. And as you mentioned, probably the only song about TB that's been written.
As far as I'm aware, it's the only song that's been written about TB in the 1950s in London.
Yeah.
I might be wrong. If I'm wrong, feel free to send in your answers on a postcard.
That's it indeed. And if you do have any questions for Sim this evening about the career, the lengthy career.
I've got a couple of questions about my career.
Well, you're in your ninth year now, aren't you? Formed back in 2005.
That's right. Yeah, we've been going for a very long time.
So, you know, there's plenty there.
There's a lot of time there, yeah.
There is a lot of time. We've got an expanse of it. So if you do have any questions for Sim, drop us a line, radio@phoenixfm.com, or on Twitter, PhoenixFM on there as well. Drop us a line. Right, the album recording. Now, that was recorded in Colchester, is that right?
Just outside Colchester, in a town called Roehedge.
Right.
Does that ring any bells?
No.
I'm not surprised. It's very pretty. It's next to a little river. It's a field, basically. We recorded with a young man called Tom Donovan, who has his own studio, which he's imaginatively titled called Tom Donovan Studios.
I
don't know how he came up with it. He's a sort of creative genius.
Months, I would have thought.
He's a lovely fella. He used to be in a band. He used to play bass in a band called Kuru Smile, who were from Colchester. They split up a few years ago, I think, but we played a lot of gigs with him way back when. And he's been wanting to record us for a while, but he set it all up from scratch.
Okay.
It's just the most beautiful studio you'll ever see. It's amazing. And he's a wonderful, wonderful person to work with.
And how long did the... how long were you in the studio for recording?
It was quite a short sort of... It was done during half term, I think. Certainly one of the school holidays. I think it was a half term.
Okay.
Me and Matt, we both work in education, so we can only really do things around the school holidays. So we were only in there, I think it was it 4 or 5 days? And then I went back. I had to go back and do some vocals because my...
Yes, you... Yeah, if you want to explain the story, that's...
Well, there's not much of a story to it, really. It's just my throat sort of turned itself inside out a little bit. And there's one take of one of the songs, about the last one, actually, Hurricane Colin. I don't know if you've still got it, but we refer to it as the Cookie Monster version. And it sounds exactly like the Cookie Monster doing the vocals for it. And that was all I could muster at that point. So we called it a day and I had to go back and do some more vocals later on.
And the one of the songs was written in while you were in the studio, is that right? The last song on the album, you were telling me?
I Am Become Oxford is what it's called. We did write that in the studio. A few of them weren't finished. Usually when we come to record, we've had the songs for ages.
Yep.
We played them live and we sort of shaped them, how we were going to do them, and then we record them. But we did it differently this time, and they were sort of taking shape in the studio, so it's a little bit more fluid, a little bit more. There was a lot of sort of energy in just generally in the recording, because we were doing it almost as if we were practicing, that sort of thing.
Yeah, because we were discussing it on the way down, that this release just sounds so big. You know, you've managed to get kind of a really... I can't think of another word to do. Beefy.
That's nice. Beef's nice. Any sort of meat-based metaphor will do me.
But yeah, it just sounds like you've managed to capture like a really big sound.
Yeah, well, we were discussing sort of the bass sound, weren't we? I think it helps that Tom was a bassist. So he spent a lot of time making sure that the bass is very prominent, generally. And I think he was very... It was just very easy to work. He had a lot of ideas of how we could do things differently. He would be quite happily give me a megaphone and send me to the back of the room and let me shout. And he'd, you know, just play around with anything that we wanted to do. He was always very... There was never that feeling that we were running out of time. So we could...
We're free to do what...
Yeah, we could dabble and be ridiculous, which is what we do best, I think.
Because there was a particular track on the album, track 5, Orwell, which kind of has the... has an amazing kind of post-rock ending, which is something you know, I haven't really heard from you guys before. It seems like you've experimented more and you've done some different things on this album.
Yeah, there was a couple of times where we were there's a few sort of post-rock type moments. I'm not really sure where they came from, to be honest, but we were just making a racket. We like making a racket. That song's about Thatcher, so obviously I got quite wound up.
Yeah,
so that might have something to do with it. Might have something to do with the sort of the extra layers of distortion and things that I wanted to put on there. But yeah, we always try and do something different each time.
So in regards to the songs for the album, I mean, how do you guys go about writing songs? I mean, do you all bring different ideas, or does one person kind of do the main bulk of the writing, or how did it work for, say, this album?
Well, because Matt and Simon aren't here, I'm sure they'd want me to say, and as I know that Matt is definitely listening, I'm sure he'd want me to say that I obviously do everything. They're essentially hand puppets. I've got like a Simon hand puppet and a Matt.
Okay.
So yep. Live, I can't play everything all at once.
No.
So I get these sort of faceless sort of claymation sort of characters from when we play live, but behind the scenes it's just me.
It's just you.
Yeah.
Play everything, do everything.
Yeah.
write the theme tune, sing the theme tune, all that kind of
Yeah. No, we all equally input. I mean, lyrics are mine. But everything else, everything that, you know, every guitar line is my guitar line, every bass line is Matt's, it's all just very organic. All the drums, Irons does what he wants. It's, it just comes together. We've been playing for so long that it just sort of, everyone knows what we're going to do.
All,
we know how we work. We know if I play a certain progression, I know that Matt's going to be able to follow it, or vice versa.
Yep.
Although I'll have to sometimes ask him what he's playing, because he's much more technical than I am. And we know, we sort of feel how we work. It's just one of those things, isn't it? When you've worked with people for so long, you get quite a sort of unspoken sort of telepathic. That sounds ridiculous.
But you know, unspoken, what I mean? Telepathic.
Yeah,
link.
Yeah, that. Or the first thing that I said about the hand puppets. It's the hand puppets one. That's the real one.
And so, all right, then let's look at the lyrics, lyrically. So you write all the lyrics. So where do the ideas come from for the lyrics? And do you kind of, keep up with current events? You see something that thinks, oh, you know, that makes me angry, or
that's about right. Yes. That is about, you're about spot on. I tend to, I don't see the point in writing songs about things that people write songs about normally.
Yeah.
There's a million songs that are all about the same thing.
There is a distinct lack of power ballads on the album.
But we always try and do something new, so eventually we'll get around to it.
Yeah, that's it. I'm waiting for the power ballad.
Album number 5, the power ballad album. I can't remember what I was saying now. Oh, yeah, what do I write songs about? It is, a lot of the time, it's things that irritate me. Or, I mean, not all of our songs are furious. I mean, most of our songs are quite furious, I suppose. But
like you said, from what you're just saying, then, song about Thatcher, which is obviously something that makes a person very angry.
Yeah.
And a song about TB, lots of various influences and...
Yeah, it's anything that interests me, really, that isn't just the obvious thing that people write songs about. So, yeah, I write songs about politics generally. We are quite political because of that, and we're seen as a political band because of what the lyrics were, which I suppose makes sense, really. But it's anything that sort of makes me twitch a little bit, I'll tend to write a song about. Of the whole Margaret Thatcher sort of being praised after her death, for example, and
all different things. Yeah.
I grew up on a council estate where all the council houses were being sold off because of the right to buy thing. So that is something that means a lot to me. It's an important subject, and I don't know, people don't write songs about important subjects most of the time, I don't think.
No, this is, exactly, so.
We've got another song on there which is about, I mean, we toured in Ukraine a couple of years ago, so we've got friends out there, and obviously just what's been happening in Ukraine recently is very worrying.
Yep.
And we were in the studio as that was all unfolding, so we, that song was written about that at the time it was happening, so it doesn't have a resolution on it in the song, because it hadn't, there wasn't a resolution
still
at that time.
Still
it's an important thing that's, that that needs songs written about.
Yeah, no, definitely. Now, before we're going to play the next track, now, I wanted to ask you about something that's on the pledge or the Kickstarter site. It mentions System of a Down. Now, there's a Q&A section on the Kickstarter for the new release, and the question is, will the B album sound like System of a Down? Now, I've seen you live a few times. I've heard quite a lot of your stuff, and never really had you pinned down as a System of a Down type band, really.
Can you? Would it be possible for you to write that down and send it to every magazine that reviews music and every other radio station in the land?
I'll give it a go. Is that really what they say?
We've been. I think, you know, I do shout a little bit, you know, and we have a political sort of.
Yep, slant, yep.
Yep, and we're noisy. And that's about, as I assume that's where it comes from. I mean, I've got nothing against this. We're down an interesting band, extremely technical.
But you know.
But we don't sound anything like
that. No.
No. It does irk that we get compared to them all the time.
Indeed. Well, I've got a few quick fire questions for
okay.
you now. Sort of quick fire. So basically, I was having a look through some of the like, recent music news and things that people are kind of either one way or the other about. So basically, I'm going to give you a thing. It might be a band name, it might be a musical thing, and whether you think it's a good thing
all
or
right.
a bad thing. And number one is something that's been kind of devising musicians quite a lot, probably since its inception, which is Spotify.
Oh,
now,
okay.
Do you think Spotify is a good thing, or do you think it's a bad thing?
Oh, I think it's a good thing, generally. Do you want an elaboration?
I would do, yeah.
It's a bit selfish, really, I suppose, but as a musician who doesn't really get any money from his music anyway, I don't really care that this is just another way that I'm not getting money from my music.
Mm.
Anything I make can be listened to for free somewhere.
Yep.
So it might as well be in one place where at least everyone hasn't got to go searching around for it. I don't know. Tom York's quite upset about it, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, Tom York, millionaire Tom
millionaire
York.
Millionaire Tom
you
York,
know,
York,
yeah. I just find that a little bit, you know, a bit harder to take. But I did see... Jeffrey Lewis.
Oh, I saw that as well,
musician,
yeah.
Posted a picture of a digital royalty check that he received for 1 cent.
He did, yeah, but, I mean, like, that's pretty much the every PRS statement I've ever got through the post, so I don't know, I don't really care about that.
So, but the thing is, though, it does put your music out to,
yeah.
God, you know, thousands and thousands of people.
Yeah, in theory, yeah, I suppose it does. But, I don't know, we don't make music to make money.
No.
I know that's...
And that should...
There are some people who are very dear to us, like... I know Echoes and Dust feel very strongly about this. For example, it's an online magazine that we both,
yep.
we both know them. They
mm-hmm.
feel very, very strongly, and they get quite angry about this, I think, as well, on the other side of the argument. But I don't expect to make money from music. It's not wired. It's not my motivation for doing it. So the fact that I'm not... And Spotify is a way that I can't make money. It just doesn't register for me as a problem. I don't know.
No, that's fair enough. I mean, as well, I mean, I probably spent more money since using Spotify because I found out about all these other bands
yeah.
that I probably wouldn't have done if I didn't have Spotify.
People who care about... I mean, we want people who care about music to listen to us.
Yeah.
And if you don't care about music, I don't really care if you listen to us or not. I'd rather you didn't, to be honest.
No.
I don't want sort of people to be indifferent to us, or I don't want you either to really like it or just to not care at all and just not want anything to do with us. And if you do like it, you're going to buy it, because people who like music buy the music that
yeah,
they like, because
no,
they want
it.
The bands that make it to keep making it.
Yeah.
If 20 people who don't really like us and would never buy anything buy us anyway, end up hearing us because of Spotify, then, you know, unlucky them. That's sort of 2 minutes of their life where I've got to shout at them for a while that they wouldn't have had otherwise.
That's an achievement.
Anyway.
That's an achievement.
I think it's entirely positive.
Okay, Spotify. Okay, number two, in something we were discussing on the way down here as well, Record Store Day. Now, obviously, the Record Store Day was last weekend. More and more releases are being made every year now. There was, just before Record Store Day, there was a couple of articles from smaller labels basically saying that they had to delay their releases, their vinyl releases, by 2 or 3 months because all the majors are repressing 5 Aerosmith albums or 2 Motorhead albums and they can't press their albums. So I'm gonna open this to you.
Is it just a pure good or bad? And that's all I've got to play with.
Yeah, you have indeed. You can't be Swiss on this. I'm afraid.
Wait up. I'm gonna have to force on the side of good, I suppose. I don't really want to, but it's closer to good than it is to evil. The intention of it,
the original,
beautiful.
Yeah.
The practice of it is obviously flawed.
Because I think this year there were 700 releases.
Yeah, it's too many. That's too many, isn't it? I might change my mind on this. But it does, I don't know, it helps. We've got the new record shop in Southend, for example.
South, yeah.
That. That's right. I was good you did a little advert for it. It was nice, wasn't it? I was being sort of BBC, other record shops are available.
Oh, no, I'll just blaze right in there.
Yeah, which is great. That's a brilliant thing. And they get the record store.
That's
stuff in as well, and that's going to help that tiny business tick over.
And that's it, isn't it? And that's what, you know, I mean, I know things end up on eBay.
Yeah, you've got.
But the good thing, one good thing about stuff ending up on eBay is that because of this, Paul Weller won't be releasing a record on Record Store Day next year. So it's a plus.
So what you're saying is it should be Record Store Day every day. And then Paul Weller will never release another record.
I like the way you think there. I like the way you think.
I think on the whole, yeah, it helps small businesses, I suppose. It also helps touts and, you know, touts of people too.
The thing is, though, until you can scan someone's mind and go, oh, they're going to sell it, no, you can't come in.
There's nothing you can do.
There's nothing you can do about it. But it's an experience, I enjoy it. I like some of the reissues. There's also get some new stuff, you know. The Fall always release something every year and stuff. And
The Fall were going to release something every year anyway, though, weren't they? Whether there was a record store.
Oh, but they released something else.
Oh, okay, yeah. I think there's not enough new releases and there's not enough smaller independent releases.
Yep.
There's an awful, as we were saying, was it Alanis Morissette live in.
Oh, 2 album live in Colorado or somewhere?
I don't know. Somewhere that. Would have just no one needs it. It doesn't need to exist.
And I just think the Aerosmith 5 Aerosmith reissues.
There are car boot sales across the land that have got the originals of those albums.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could probably go on Discogs and buy them for like 32p each.
If you were that way inclined, if you needed those records that badly.
Well, that's it indeed. Well, you know, if you need to, you know, you've got an open fire that you need to keep the room.
Yeah.
So we're going for good.
Yeah,
we're going for. Okay, number 3 is nostalgia. Now, it seems to be over the last few years that, you know, all the bands are reforming, they're doing their reunions. Britpop at the moment, there's been a lot this week about kind of 20 years of Britpop. You know, it seems to be a lot more nostalgic. I mean, pretty much, I look at like different music sites every day, and pretty much every day, it's, oh, this album's 20, oh, this album's 15, you know. And I don't remember this 5 years ago. I mean, I don't know whether that's because but, you know, it just seems to be everything is kind of nostalgia-driven at the moment. I mean, now you've got the Libertines playing at Hyde Park, like reunion, with probably the most horrendous lineup ever.
Oh, what's the bill?
Reverend and the Makers.
Oh, you're kidding me.
The Twang. The Enemy. The Rifles.
We played with the Rifles.
Did you? but you know, and it's the whole, you know, because everyone was going nuts because Liam Gallagher tweeted just Oasis, and everyone now thinks they're going to headline Dusty. I mean, do you buy into any of this nostalgia business?
No, of course I don't. It's rubbish. I was around Britpop, I was buying records when it was during the Britpop. I'm old enough as
time as well.
You are as well.
I'm indeed. Yeah.
And I've got a lot of time for a lot of the bands. I was excited, wasn't I, when you told me about the job from Cooler Shaker?
Yeah, who is on in about 50 minutes' time.
And I shocked you by saying that I loved Cooler Shaker way back when. They were a band that I enjoyed. We don't need it. Without wanting to sound like, a ridiculous politico, which I am a little bit, to be fair, it's all to do with austerity. It's because of the current situation.
Yep.
So people look back at these sort of the housing days. You distract them with something shiny. Mm.
Yeah, I think because the age I am, and a lot of people, the 90s, and I remember 91. I was 15 when Nevermind came out, and I think that's. Whereas a lot of my friends, but they seem to get kind of stuck in that, like no music was made after 1997, and and things like that.
I suppose most generations have that, though, don't they?
Yeah, just
they have this sort of people who won't listen to anything that isn't Eddie Cochran, for example, or you've got the sort of mods. Paul Weller. Back to him. He hasn't stopped being a mudger, has he?
He hasn't. People
do get stuck in that sort of thing. But what I worry about, I'm going to end up sounding like my mum. Right? When I was at school, she'd ask what we'd done at school, and I said, "Oh, history. Today we were looking at the Second World War," and she'd go, "That's not history. I remember that. If I remember it happening around me, it wasn't history." And you're saying the Libertines. Reforming, how can that be nostalgia? When did they split up about 5 minutes ago, didn't they?
Is there one band that you would love to see perform or get back together or do a gig or...
Right, my immediate thing for that is no, I wouldn't, because it always is disappointing. Like the Pixies thing we were talking about earlier, and it's disappointing, the Pixies stuff, I think. And I saw Frank Black as Frank Black many years ago, and I'd never seen anything more distressing. It was awful. It was just like, it's pathetic. Having said that, Long Pigs. I never got to see Long Pigs.
Okay.
And I would love to see Long Pigs. Just because he isn't making any music anymore, is he? He's writing. He's a writer.
And that's right.
And he had the most phenomenal voice. And I've a massive. That's a Britpop band, I suppose.
There aren't many Britpop bands left that haven't. Reformed, really.
No, I suppose not.
There's been so many recently.
It's remarkable how they managed to Shed Seven. Who's crying out for that? Who wants that?
But people go, this is it. And I think, because, funny enough, so I was reading a comment about the Oasis thing, so after Liam tweeted all that, they're going to headline Glastonbury, and someone was like, well, hold on. When they ended their career, they were releasing awful albums, Liam's voice was shot, and this was 5 years, six or 7 years ago,
Which incarnation of Oasis is it that's going to reform? Is it going to be the original one?
It's going to be the one
with... Because it's been umpteen, isn't it?
Well, at the moment, it's half a ride.
Hurricane number one people in there?
Yeah.
Is that the plan? What if Hurricane number one want to reform at the same time as Oasis did?
No, see, this is the thing. BDI is stopping a ride reunion, and I'd be quite happy with a ride reunion.
I don't know enough about it. They're quite popular, shouldn't they? They're quite well thought of.
They were very, very... They were part of the whole shoegaze. And now Slow Dive reformed as well.
I don't know. I think generally, either... Just don't split up in the first place.
Yeah,
just keep going. Sonic Youth, how long were they making records?
Yep.
Interesting records.
Or just say, like Fugazi, they went on hiatus. They didn't actually split up. They just haven't done anything.
But you're happening. I believe, on indefinite hiatus.
Yeah.
And have been for 20 years.
Oh, God,
But I think they still practice.
Do they?
I might be wrong, but I think they do. I'm under the impression.
I know they turned down because a couple of the ATP things. Isaac Brock from Modest Mouse asked them to play his one, we're good. But there's still that,
But I just don't see the point. Just do something else. There's enough music. We don't have to keep.
This is it, isn't it?
Listening to Oasis. That doesn't need to. That just doesn't need to happen. I think that should be stopped forcibly if necessary.
Well, I don't. I mean, I still think Noel's of the opinion that he doesn't want it to happen. I don't know. He seems to be the sensible one out of the pair.
The sensible member of Oasis.
Yeah.
Is that the sentence that you just said on the radio?
I did, live, for prosperity.
That's like saying he's the tall clanger. What is the sensible Oasis? I don't know. I just don't see the point. They were rubbish. They had an interesting start, and then they disappeared in a haze of absurd sort of parody of themselves. And
yeah,
why do we need that?
So nostalgia, bad.
Bad.
Okay, number four. Now, number four is a band. The only band in the five. Now, the band in question are Arcade Fire. Okay. Now, there's been a... People are kind of... He's come out and the singer has come out moaning about electronic music and... Yeah, basically. I may be paraphrasing a bit, but yeah, he came out basically slating off electronic music. And there's been a couple of other kind of things with other bands saying that they're a bit up themselves. To see, but I don't know. Do you fan of Arcade Fire?
If I'm honest, I'm entirely indifferent to them. They managed to make no sort of impact on me at all. I heard them, I thought they're all right, but that was enough. That wasn't. You know how I feel about music. I either get very excited about something,
or
and go and hunt it out properly, or it just doesn't do anything. And they left me pretty cold, to be honest, as a band. If he said, I hope he has moaned about electronic music. I think that's hilarious. It's just, you couldn't sound more like an old man, could you?
Exactly, you know.
I wonder what his point is. But,
I think he describes it as soulless and that kind of, you know.
Oh, okay. Well, no, I don't agree with that, because I know people, I'm not a massive fan of electronic music, most electronic music, but you can't just rule everything out.
Of course you can't.
As soulless. I've known electronic musicians who have put everything they've got into it, and there's meaning behind it. Just because you don't understand it doesn't make it soulless.
Exactly. So what are we going to do? Okay, fire, good or bad?
I just don't care. So bad. I just couldn't care less.
Fair enough.
I'm not going to give them the benefit of the doubt. They're bad.
Okay. And then the final bit for this little bit, number five. So if someone was to come along to you tomorrow and say, oh, we really like your song Amnesiac Electorate, and we want to give you a sum of money for using it in a Gap advert.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Is that something that you would do, or would you not do?
Is Gap still a thing, is it?
I have no idea, but that's the first thing that popped in my head.
That's the last time you used a large company. It was when Gap was everywhere.
Last time I went out. I haven't been out since.
Dear. Well, no.
The thing I'm talking about is using songs for advertising.
No, it sickens me. Absolutely, it makes me furious. No, definitely no. A thousand times no.
Never for doesn't any amount matter. Of money.
No. The only time that you can film, I would definitely, if it was a film that I liked the sound of, then yeah, of course you can have songs. It's an art form film. It's not a disgusting way of making money for people who have too much money. And no, I mean, there's just no way. And a charity could use their song if they wanted to use it. Maybe a political party, depending on who it was. Probably not, because I can't imagine.
The thing is, Dean, once you do it there, you're kind of really setting your stall out, aren't you, if you give it to a certain political...
Yeah, you would be tied with them, and if they then sell out completely, then you're stuck, I suppose. But no, there's just no way. I mean, it wouldn't matter. Wouldn't matter how much I was offered, it's just I couldn't do it.
Just going to, like, because devil's advocate a little bit here. Mm-hmm. Singer-songwriter called Kimya Dawson, I don't know if you've heard of her. She's an American singer-songwriter. Independent, but she... One of her songs was used on an advert. I can't remember what it was now. And she got paid quite a stupid amount of money. So, and a lot of people were, you know, oh, you shouldn't have done that. Oh, why did you do that? And her argument was, well, with that money that she gave me, she had a lot of friends who were in trouble or ill, like American, you don't really want to get ill in America.
No, and that's true.
That money allowed her to help them out.
Mm.
So...
I'm not going to condemn this one person for doing something.
It was more the situation than the, you know, than the...
Yeah, I don't know if that's is that even true though? That sounds like a desperate trying to justify something and wheeling out the poorly relatives as a way of doing it, which I don't know if I'd buy. But I don't think, you know, if I sold one of our songs, that completely undermines everything that I've ever said, or any music I'd ever make again would then be tainted with what's essentially, you know, it would lack integrity. And we're not a commercial band. We don't set out to be, and that would, the one thing that we can actually hold our heads high about is our integrity. If you take that away, we don't exist.
What have you got? No, fair enough. So we're going to go for bad on that one.
Just please.
Very, very bad.
But if Mr. Gap is outside,
and
we can always do a solo project.
or what they'll end up doing, they'll end up getting, you know, Tanita Tickerham to do acoustic version of the song for the advert. They do that these days.
They used a Muse song, didn't they, on something without permission, and I can't remember what advert it was, but I know he was furious at the time, and so just one of them.
Well, I know,
and then before too long,
it happens a lot in America with the political parties. They always seem to get in trouble, for the Republicans especially seem to be using.
They always pick really stupid things that are against right.
Yeah, I know.
It's always the right wing parties, and they pick something that they think, you know, sums up. Like they use that Springsteen song. Which is a. It's like an anti-government song.
Exactly.
What are you playing at?
Right, we're going to play now. We'll go back to the album now. We'll go back to the reason that you came. Right, we've got another song from the album now that you're going to introduce for us now.
Our song?
Yes, this is your song.
I can't remember what you said it was going to be. Oh, A Eulogy.
That's it.
This is called A Eulogy of Sorts.
Oh, is that...
is that it? Well, it's probably going to be the single.
Single, that's right.
I think we're going to do a video for this one,
Okay, well, get your ear holes around this. So, new album, almost everyone is entirely average at almost everything. I did look.
You only glanced.
That's true. So, There's no actual release date set at the moment, is there, for it?
Not yet. We're still waiting on the whole. We're finished. It's all mixed and mastered and ready to go. And I'm sort of every day I have to not upload it on the Bandcamp or something. I have to sort of restrain myself. We're just waiting on a few pieces of artwork because we've got so many different people doing art for it.
Yep.
That obviously is quite a big project to sort of collate, really, and they're doing it all for free as well, so we've got to be very
nice of them, isn't it?
It's amazing, you know. It's very supportive of them, that sort of people offer to do stuff for us, and it's very pleasant, really.
Indeed. So once that's all done, the pledges will get all their bits sent out
as soon as we've got the artwork. Yeah, then it'll be made available for download for the people who pledge. They can have it instantly as soon as guys want to get it to them. Obviously then the vinyl needs to be pressed, and as we were talking about record store day and
the lack of, pressing availability.
That's going to be affected, I expect, by that, but the process for that will start as soon as possible, basically.
And then so is it going to be released onto Bandcamp or?
Yeah, it'll be. We'll have it once the pledges have had it, had it and we know what's going on. Then we'll set an official release date. So the download will be available before the vinyl, I expect, just because I don't know if I can be patient enough to wait.
So future plans after that's released. Now you're playing at the Cosmic Puffin Festival.
We are.
That's next weekend.
It's a fantastic festival on Mersey Island, which is all done for charity. Every
that's
man
right,
plays
yep.
plays for free. The people who run it do it all just out of their own time. Just every penny goes to charity, basically. It's so remarkable.
Stuff.
It's been running for years.
So is that going to be a full band thing?
Yeah. We're playing on the Sunday night. It'll be. We've played there every time they've asked us, which I think has been this fifth year in a row, I think.
Okay.
Maybe fourth, maybe, I'm not sure. Time moves differently at Cosmic Puffin. But it's brilliant. If there's a, like, I don't know if you can put a link to them or anything, because they are wonderful. If that's possible, if you could.
Yeah, well, when I upload the interview and everything onto the web, I'm
that'd
sure
be
I can.
Great.
I can sure pop a little.
I think it's
Carnival
playing as well, I believe. On the side.
Oh, that,
yeah, I think so.
Oh.
Yeah, which is exciting. It's got bigger every year, the Cosmic Puffin. So but it's still maintaining its sort of small festival atmosphere. So it's very friendly. It's brilliant. If you haven't been,
I haven't. No,
you'd love it.
Are there any more plans to? So, have you got any more gigs lined up after that? Or?
We haven't got anything booked after that. We're always willing to do stuff. I think we've got to sit down and work out when we're all available to do things.
Are you going to do anything like? Because I know you've put on a fair few gigs in the past.
Yeah, I have. I'm a bit unkeen at the moment to be putting anything on. To be honest, I've lost my desire for putting on.
It can be frustrating.
There aren't any bands at the moment that I'm really excited about. And when I put stuff on, I only do it for bands that I get really excited about. And there isn't anyone at the moment. That might change if I hear something tomorrow that's great and I want to put them on. But at the moment, I haven't got any plans to put any more gigs
bands on. And do you? Because I remember seeing you guys at Village Green last year? I think it was.
Yeah.
And you did kind of the full band thing. But acoustic, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't. It was all right, wasn't it? It was fun. It wasn't a choice that we made. It was. They wanted us to play, but we were obviously far too loud. I mean, they came in and we had to turn down on the acoustic thing because we were too loud as acoustic.
That's always a good sign, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's not something that we. I mean, we've done a couple of things like that in the past, but it's definitely not. It's not really what we're about, to be honest.
It's a fun thing to try.
Yeah, it's a different challenge, and it's. You know, and it's a nice day in the sun, isn't it, Village Green? But
it was nice.
I don't think acoustic for show and stuff is not really what we're about.
But so there will be more, I'm sure, more gigs towards
you. Yeah, we'll book up all sorts of stuff, but we just haven't got around to it yet.
So if Gap are out there and need a band,
Gapapalooza, is that a festival? We'll play that. Yeah, we'll go on the road for Gapapalooza.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, we were in the stages of arranging to go back to Ukraine, but obviously not really possible at the moment, so we don't know what we're going to do. But we played a gig in a house with Caution Horses, which is a band we used to tour with all the time.
Okay,
it's a bit up Andy from Caspanita. I don't know if you know them at
all. Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, he's other band. And that was fun, and we did talk about touring again with them even though they're to put up their film, so that might happen at some point.
Okay.
We've got various things we will be doing, it's just getting the fixed dates.
Okay, so with the band stuff, you've done promoter type things. Are there any other ambitions, anything that you want to have a go at? Or?
Well, musically?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to do a label, don't I? I mean, that's the dream, really. It's just financially
it's sort of, yeah.
I think because we're releasing this on vinyl this time, that's sort of, I suppose, the first step to actually setting up your own label, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if something else came out after that. It all depends. I mean, I work. I don't earn a fortune. Let's put it that way. So it's all, everything it's, we do is done. We have to be quite careful with, and we do put ourselves financially at risk, like with everything that we do, really. But we still do it because we're idiots and we love it. But yeah, but that'd be the ultimate thing, would be to do a label.
Yeah, that does sound. I mean, I've thought about the thing I had a kind of idea of was doing like a singles club of like local bands.
Yeah.
Like once a month, two bands, seven inches,
Like
for a year.
Well, we've got a single coming up if you're interested.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
It's called Gap.
Everyone do the Gap. Yes.
Awesome, yeah. It's white t-shirts, isn't it, Gap?
Chinos. Lots of chinos.
Really, I don't think it really exists anymore, does it?
I have no idea.
I don't know if it was even a real shop. Was it just on Friends?
I'm not really a Friends expert like yourself. So, your 9-year career.
Yeah.
We're still calling it.
People will believe it if you say it enough.
Yeah. So, what has been the highlights of the first 9 years of the Show the Crisis?
Oh, we've done so much. It's quite hard to remember all of it, really. The fact that we've managed to release so many things in the first place is quite a miracle. Because, like I say, it's so expensive to do anything. We've had quite a lot of people be quite passionate about us as well, which is probably the best thing. We were talking about Echoes and Dust earlier, weren't we?
Yeah, indeed.
Just how supportive they've been of us since the start. And when we first got into something, we were quite a small, almost like a fanzine on the internet, but then they've now grown into this sort of giant website, haven't they?
Yeah, they have some really good stuff on there.
So that's quite nice. They've been supportive of us the whole time and remain so, hopefully, unless they hate the new stuff that they've heard, but if they do, but we've played with some amazing bands, so Future Left, Strange Instruments and Star, I said earlier, we've played with the Lovely Eggs and...
That was a great gig.
All sorts of bands that we've played on. We've toured all over Europe and had some really quite wonderful experiences, done lots of things that we can't mention in polite company, and Steve the Mac played us on Radio 1, which is quite a ridiculous thing to happen. So yeah, we did that thing with Tom Ravenscroft as well, didn't we?
That's it, yeah.
There's millions of things we've done.
I should be writing this down for the Wikipedia page.
Of course, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Just make stuff up.
Yeah, well, I'm tempted about that, you know.
Our last album went triple platinum. That was quite a big deal.
That year that you won Eurovision, that was a very good...
I actually entered Eurovision as every country.
And it's amazing.
Yeah, I think it's the first time it's been done.
I think so.
Yeah.
And the UK still got nil prior.
Yeah, but I was also Azerbaijan that year, so then we won.
We won. By a high points majority as well.
Yeah, 100%.
Amazing.
The marks, is that even possible? I don't know how Eurovision works.
I haven't got to.
I'm not a middle-aged woman, I'm afraid. Not yet.
Not yet. So, okay, so someone came up to you and said, Sim, I'm thinking about starting a band.
Yeah.
What advice could you give me about doing that? What would be the best advice that you would give to someone starting out now in a band?
Just do it. Why are you asking someone's advice? Just, if you want to be in a band, you're in a band, aren't you? And you make it happen and you do everything that you want to do. I don't think there is advice. Do everything you want the way you want to do it. And people, if you worry that people aren't listening to you, then stop. If you're worried that you're not going to sell enough records, then stop. If you do it for the wrong reasons, then just don't do it. But just be in a band. It's fun. What is there not to like about it? Apart from all the drudgery.
You sell it so well, you know.
No, it's just the most fun thing you can do, isn't it?
I don't know. I'm not in a band.
Oh yeah, but you can imagine, can't you?
I have done several occasions. Yeah.
Well, you've been to enough gigs. What is there anything worse when you go and see a band and they look like they're not enjoying themselves?
Oh yeah,
that makes me furious. Why are you even doing it? If you don't enjoy it, why are you bothering?
The weird thing is, it's normally bands that you paid a quite high amount of money to see that kind of give those performances. It's a strange thing.
Well, it is tiring, obviously, if you're on tour and you're playing every night. It's exhausting, but you know, there's nothing like being on stage and playing gigs and it's amazing.
And you guys always do look like you're enjoying yourself.
Well, if we weren't, then I'd hope to think that we would stop. Yeah, I don't think we wouldn't go through the motions with it, I don't think. It's always really exciting, so that's why we do it.
So, to kind of wrap it up, as they say, where can people find out more about For Shoulder
about
Crisis?
Us? Yeah. Well, I believe there's going to be a Wikipedia page shortly.
There might be, yeah. We heard about that.
Bandcamp is good. That's probably the best place, isn't it? Which is just Bandcamp/For Shoulder Crisis, I think. I've just put all our old stuff up on iTunes again, but don't buy it from there because we can't control the prices or anything. You can download it all
from
much
Bandcamp.
More reasonably from Bandcamp, some of it free, some of it a minimal amount. And we've got a Facebook page and all that, Twitter, I'm sure.
Yep, you got your website as well.
We have got a website as well, thank you. Type us into the internet, we're all over it.
They are indeed all over the internet. So thank you very, very much for coming down this evening and playing tracks from the new album. I'm going to sing them one more time.
Go on.
Almost Everyone is entirely average at almost everything.
That's very well.
Due out soon, so keep an eye on the internet. Maybe Wikipedia, you know. The release date will maybe go on there. But no, I've thoroughly enjoyed it. Oh.